Hello, fighting game fans, fighting game enthusiasts, and washed-up fighting game players. I am one of your two hosts for this FG cast. I am the Purple Sharpie, as always, and my second co-host here happens to be along with us for the ride. How are you doing today, Saki Sakura?
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I am doing pretty good today, actually. It's Friday. I've been enjoying many different games, including Guilty Gear and Once Human, and it's going to be a really fun weekend that I'm looking forward to at the time of this recording.
Oh, for sure. We have quite a bit of news, not just from this past week, but oh my God, the last 2 weeks have been filled with tons of tournaments galore, have they not?
Oh yeah, let's actually hop into it because there has been way too many announcements, including ARK World Tour's announcement. It feels just like last episode that we were covering the World Tour and its finale. Well, guess what? We got 2024 right on the horizon. All right, we got the brand new ARK World Tour, and there's a little bit of changes as well. But before we get into that, we also got Combo Breaker as being one of the places for the ARK World Tour, and a couple of other big events too, I think, as well, Sharpie. You know, we've been seeing it before. We've kind of already announced that it's a tour for Mortal Kombat, right? And we also announced that it's a tour for Tekken as well. And then, of course, we just got a new announcement. It's going to be Killer Instinct.
There are so many games here. No, there's so many. Like, Combo Breaker has really gotten their roots inside of this part of the community as well. You know, Rick is a very, very well-known part of the Killer Instinct community. So, like, being able to have KI at Combo Breaker, it just makes sense. But yeah, like you said, there's also obviously going to be Mortal Kombat. And why don't we just take a few moments to very quickly, like, just go over this tweet that we saw from Rick the Hado, otherwise known as the owner and tournament organizer of Combo Breaker.
Yeah, I say this very sarcastically. I love me some numbers. I really don't. But I got a severe math phobia, but it's all good because check out this leaderboard. So we got Tekken 8 at the very top as of, and mind you, this is back in April of the 8th before this episode was recorded. So it might change a little bit, but as of that, of this tweet, we have Tekken 8 on the top. We have Street Fighter 6 second. I really love this. Guilty Gear Strive in third. It really gives a new term for big three, right?
No, for sure.
Right after we got Grand Blue Fantasy versus Rising, Under Night Inverse Inbirth 2, which I think is really cool as well, because that's literally three Arxis games in the top eight leaderboard. I mean, when has that ever happened?
It's really astonishing to me, because if you even go back into the fighting game, I would say 5 years ago, right? At the very, very start of the pandemic, these were not the type of games that you saw leading the pack. Mm-mm. You know, you did see Tekken 7 up there. You definitely saw Street Fighter, but like Killer Instinct, Guilty Gear, BlazBlue, Under Night. Like, what is this anime revival inside of the fighting game community?
It's amazing.
I love it. I love it.
Listen, I'm an anime girl at heart. I mean, hello, like, look at me, right? I just love this so much for us. Right after Uni 2 is Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Mm-hmm. Then Rev 2, which I thought was really surprising because that's another game that has also been getting a revival thanks to the rollback netcode patches that have been going out in the last year. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Mortal Kombat 1, which, as we've all been talking about, we just mentioned this earlier in this conversation for the topic, a pro tour spot. It's the final pro tour offline spot right before Final Combat. So it's a very big opportunity. And I mean, like, we've talked also too, or mentioned that Combo Breaker is in Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. It's home of the NRS scene in a way. So
It's a very, very, I would say this entire leaderboard right here, truthfully, is a very compelling strategy as to why games deserve to be listened to at every stage of the way. But I don't have to tell, obviously, our viewers or listeners any of that, right? We both, you and myself, Saki, both come from scenes that aren't always given the spotlight. You play not only Mortal Kombat, but you also play quite a few other anime games like Guilty Gear. And most recently, we've both been playing Under Night. So, like, seeing all of the games across the fighting game universe outside of just NRS or Capcom or Tekken getting spotlight. That's a huge deal inside of this community. But hey, you know what I actually want to ask you? Were there other community effective like events that we saw these last couple of weeks that we maybe haven't necessarily seen? Like, not even just inside of the East Coast or the Midwest, but like, and specifically on the West Coast, are we seeing any like crazy big events taking place there that especially focus on anime games right now?
Absolutely. But I feel like the best way to tell you which event this is to show you a clip.
Oh, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Okay. Now, everybody, if you'll please excuse us, we have but a clip to show.
Reload?
Not the reload! That's wild! That reload is so freaking... That's the craziest part of all of that. That's the craziest part of all of that inside of here, bro. But Saki, what are we watching? What are we watching here, Mark?
So just recently, at the time of this recording, we actually just returned from Slashback. This is a Northern California regional. It's a 2-day event. And I think it's actually really cool to highlight because one, by the way, this is led by Hellebrett. So shout outs to Hellebrett. He is also a commentator in addition to being the leads for Slashback, which I think is like super awesome. And then, you know, it is a tournament that is happening in California. We're always talking about, hey, West Coast, where's your tournaments? Like, what are we supposed to go to if we're out in the West Coast? And honestly, this is one of those tournaments that you should definitely make sure you attend at some point. You know, in a way, this is kind of like the beginning of how Combo Breaker started, right? For the Midwest. Climax of the Night, very similar startup too. Very heavily focused on anime games, but slowly growing over the years because of the community support.
Now, I have a quick question here, actually, Saki, of course, right? We had a bunch of games at Slashback, obviously, but what really made this tournament like a huge note? Obviously, I'm seeing some Guilty Gear Strive here. I see Apology Man. Naturally, that is Apology Man's like region, I believe, up in Northern California. But were there any other games that like were of note there?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a big, obviously, Undernight was one of them. That's where the original clip was coming from. I believe Granblue was also part of that, too. Yep. And I'm sure Melty Blood as well. Mm-hmm. Again, very heavily anime focused. This kind of also brings it back just a little bit. Like, these are events that I hope to see at some point continue and in such growth because, again, it's only gotten bigger yep. over the years.
Yep.
Reaching a status within like the Arc World Tour, because with Arc World Tour, they've introduced that there's different events with different point systems and statuses. You have your platinum, your gold, and your silver. And very easily, like right here, you know, platinum is obviously your bigger events like your Evos and your Evo Japans, where if you get that first place, you get the direct invite. But gold events that like, for example, Climax of the Night is one of these events for Undernight. Slashback can be that event for Undernight and even Guilty Gear and Granblue as well. So, you know, again, I feel like when you're looking at what are events, because I actually saw this on Twitter,
yeah.
Sharpie, for, yeah. like, so ironically, and I think that this is a great question to throw at you.
Yeah.
I saw someone say, where are all the events? Like, when Ooh. Are they? So I can get a list going. Like, where's the list of events that happen throughout the year? Because I'm trying to grind. And oh, I thought sure. that was, like, so awesome. Obviously, it's really hard to grab all of the events because you don't want to leave anyone out, right?
Oh, for sure, for
but
sure.
I feel like we always want to make sure that we touch upon like, hey, if you're in this region, these are the big ones to look out for.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I actually also just want to kind of chime in here about the tour point system. This is not the first time that we've seen this specific system used for the tour points, but it is the first time in a very long time that we're seeing offline events return and be able to capitalize off of tour structures that basically incentivize people to enter events in order to gain something massively in a circuit format like this. Like, obviously, Capcom Pup does it. The Tekken World Tour does it. Obviously, Arc Revo now does it as well. The Skullgirls circuit does it. Like, you're seeing this tournament structure result in events like Slashback growing exponentially. And once again, you already did it, Saki, but I want to give my kudos to Slash Hella Brett for starting and organizing Slashback. I feel kind of bad because I really don't feel like I'm not on Twitter, but did you feel like the general consensus outside of the anime community was really highlighting this event truthfully at all?
Truthfully, not at all, which is, again, one of the reasons why we exist, right? Yeah. This is a perfect opportunity to highlight amazing events. I think that this is, of course, in part of the fact that most of the fighting game community is using Twitter, and Twitter's right now not the best platform in terms of algorithm things, right? So, you know, moments like these, they do get lost. And until we find a better place where the entire community has, like, migrated over, it's really, really important that we try to highlight these events in the best way possible. And you at home, the viewers, the listeners, you can help with this project too. It's very simple. You know, if you see that there's a stream happening, you know, tweet it out or go ahead and, like, let your friends know, let your Discords know, especially if you're in one of these Discords where you're getting a lot of your games from. Also as well, feel free to share clips, share pictures, share videos that are getting put on for this event and these events that happen. Like, the best way to talk about your offline scene is by showing more than telling.
All the time. Right? All the time.
You know that perfectly, Sharpie.
I know that so incredibly well, Saki. It's one of those things where it's like, if you are a member of a very, very loyal, strong, maybe a little bit smaller community, you have to make sure that your voices are known and known very, 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 very widely. Otherwise, people are just going to disregard you. And that's what I think kind of, like you said before, makes this podcast really special. Since we are from smaller communities, like anime communities, especially inside the fighting game community, we love highlighting stuff like that. And me personally, I absolutely love highlighting hype moments, specifically like Multiverses, which is coming back next month. Bro, we actually got some brand new footage showcased for the very, very, very first time since the announcement about Multiverses coming back on May 28th. Why is this such a big deal? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because this is them actually showing off their amazing new netcode. This netcode that I'm actually showing right now for our video viewers is actually showcasing connections from Connecticut, Mexico, California, everywhere inside the continental United States. Not just that, but inside of the entirety of Northern America right now. And these connections look pretty stable. We're not seeing any of the connection issues that we ran into very, very early in beta. I do want to remind all of our listeners and viewers that all this game footage is actively inside development. This footage is not in any way, shape, or form final, and is exclusively used to show us exactly what the connection will look like remotely. Now, Saki, I gotta pass it over back to you. Do you feel like online play is incredibly important inside of games like Multiverses?
Absolutely. And you know what? I don't even have to go into just the importance. I just gotta show you the example.
Yes.
You got Brawlhalla.
Yes.
You got Rivals of Ether.
Yes.
You got all of these platformers, Nickelodeon, All-Stars, Brawls as well. Like, netcode is so important for, I feel, the relativity and longevity of your game.
Oh, right? No, I absolutely agree.
I'm one of them. I have the privilege, and I will say it right now. I do not like delay-based netcode. I do not play games that are delay-based netcode. This is why I was not playing Granblue when it first came out, base Granblue. I love the game. I love the characters. I love my waifus. I love my husbandos. You could not pay me enough to play that game. And I said this from the very beginning, that as long as Granblue had rollback netcode, I would play it.
Yep.
Until then, I am not touching that with the 10-foot pole.
Yep. You know, it's really interesting, too, because one of the things that I've noticed the most about, like, just playing and having fun and everything like that, especially inside of, like, online communities, is that netcode is the number one thing that will stop you from continuously playing. Like, I feel the exact same way you do about Multiverses. Not just Multiverses, but Granblue. I remember when Granblue came out, I was running events at Xanadu, and it was a shame because we were so ready for it, and then quarantine started, and that game got completely and totally demolished because it did not have Rollback netcode. People were struggling to play it.
Real quick, I want to add just another point, too. Yeah. And this is unfortunately the reality of, I feel like, fighting game players, at least my generation of fighting game players. We don't like to lab. Ooh! We just don't. We do not like to lab. Stop we stay me. In. Listen, I am speaking the truth right now. It's a very hard truth.
You ain't
and
never
I know
lied.
Some of you listeners, and I'm sure I'm going to see the comments later. Saki, I like to lab. What are you talking about? I lab 2 hours a day. Listen, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the majority of the 90% of the fighting game community do not like to lab.
Yup. Talk to him. Talk
we
to him,
We do
Sophie.
Not like to sit in the lab for 2 to 3 hours. We would much... We don't even want to hop
in. I want to just go online and play. Want to just play. When I sit down after a hard day of work, I want to sit down and play. I get it. I am part of that 99% that don't lab, bro. I make content. I don't got to lab. I don't got to be nice in this game. I just got to understand it at a high level.
Understand on a high level to commentate it and just be a personality when we stream. Yep. That's our job.
Yeah.
We listen, we have the excuse. What about you?
Oh, Saki coming in with the heat.
I know. I'm sorry.
I feel that. But look, we're going to get back into multiverses only because Saki coming in hella heavy with this heat, and I personally feel attacked at this point now. But like, look, Multiverses is not only exclusively focusing on rebuilding their netcode, they're also focusing on getting some brand new Multiverses showcases. In fact, we actually got a really, really cool showcase very, very recently with the NHL, otherwise known as the National Hockey League. And you guys are probably sitting here like, Sharpie, what are you even talking about the National Hockey League? Great question. Well, not only did Multiverses go ahead and partner up and come out with these really, really cool insert and opportunities with the NHL, which I'm showing you guys right over here. Look at these. Look at this. Those are actual. Now, personally, I don't watch hockey, so I don't know about Colorado Avalanche or the Vegas Golden Knights, but a lot of people outside of the fighting game community do. Like, a lot of people watch hockey, especially inside of Canada and inside of some of the more northern states. I just don't. I know Ovechkin because he's on the Washington Capitals, but that's like the only guy I know. But Saki, do you have any experience specifically with any members of hockey or seeing any integrations like this? Didn't Mortal Kombat kind of do something like this with Meg Thee Stallion?
Yeah, I mean, Warner Brothers, I feel like, is probably the best company to actually create these amazing collabs, to be honest. What I find so interesting is, like, why hockey? You know, like, what is the... And this is actually something I'm going to, like, kind of show my work experience here. I remember when I first started in esports with... I believe it's NHL with the EA game itself. There's a lot of people that play that game, more so than you think.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's an attempt to try to bring together that community into multiverses. And honestly, like, I know we've talked about 2XKO before, but truthfully, multiverses is the platform fighter that can change the landscape, especially being a free-to-play game coming into the market, right? And, you know, we've talked about so many times on different, like, budgets and how pretty much fighting games make their money in many different scenarios that we've been invited to in, like, different projects, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like this is a perfect example of what a lot of devs should be doing. I mean, we've kind of seen this collaboration with Chipotle and Street Fighter and Tekken, Uniqlo with Tekken and Street Fighter. And Multiverses is now doing that with really big brands. First of them being NHL and then McDonald's.
They did have the McDonald's one. Yeah, I actually have the footage of that right here. We'll go ahead and pull it up for the stream. But they announced that they were going to have Happy Meals specifically start to give out some of them. We saw it inside of that previous little clip, specifically with specifically some of the hockey players. You actually saw some of the moments where they actually had the little, like, cards kind of hovering, and they've been heavy pushing this. Like, very, very, very heavy, you know, which is, I think, a great thing, especially for, you know, someone like me who's inside of this space that's out here like, oh, yeah, 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 like for sure. I'm going to be I want to commentate this game. I want to be doing X, Y, and Z. I want to be doing all of that. Right. It's really, really nice for someone like me. What's crazy to me is the fact that, like, how early some of these integrations are. Integrations like this, you usually only see once, and like that's at the peak of the hype for the game. This is at the start of the new launch for the game. This is their second launch. Like, this is their second launch, and they're getting deals with McDonald's. They're getting deals with the NHL. That tells me that there's a very healthy future for this game, and it also gives me a lot of excitement for the competitive community, because that's not the only thing that they showcase. I talked about literally at the start of all of this, they're testing out to make sure that the competitive players are able to have a really, really, really good experience online. And to me, that's paramount. To me, that's one of the most important things that you can possibly do. But speaking of Warner Brothers games that they're releasing, Saki, wasn't there something new that we had to, that I would be remiss if I didn't give you an opportunity to talk about some of the new Warner Brothers Mortal Kombat updates and characters that we are seeing now?
I low-key kind of wanted to actually talk more about multiverses, and I had a question for you.
I want to do too.
Listen, I love you, Mortal Kombat fans. Listen, you can watch in my own videos. I simp very hard for some characters in the trailer, and we'll get to there. But like, I feel like multiverses, it's literally a month away, Sharpie, and there's more than just Netcode that they just showed off, right?
They showed off NHL, they showed off the Netcode, they showed off I'm gushing right now, but they also showed off the fact that I wasn't going to touch on it, because I wanted to have one little secret for later, but I'm going to go ahead and show you guys a quick little clip literally directly from their TikTok, which, you guys, if you guys are not watching their TikTok, one, why? Like, just why are you not doing that? That's a mistake. But two, they've actually been showcasing some really, really unique, brand new information that, like, just debuted. And I'm not even joking, about like 30 minutes before we pressed record on our stuff. And I'm going to show it to you here. So if you actually go ahead and you take a look at this 20-second video that they have literally on their TikTok page right now, you can already see that the graphics look a lot different. Like, these are the basic graphics. This is all from the trailer here. And then we get to this. This is a different multiverses than we had.
This is amazing. This looks so much cleaner.
Something that they announced before, especially inside of like that huge announcement that we got, that we did, like, what was it, like a 35 minute long episode about just multiverses, where I said they're doing Unreal Engine 5. Unreal Engine 5 is known for having incredible and very, very advanced lighting options, for being able to render things significantly faster than some other engines, and being able to give people kind of like a Swiss Army knife of options when it comes to changing and the look of their game. I believe that they are completely and totally utilizing that to not only achieve the outline effect that you're getting here inside of the game, but also some of the more precise cell shading that you're getting. That's a lighting effect for sure. In addition, we also got little tiny footage right here. This is a Dexter's Lab. This is a Dexter's Lab. That's a new stage.
That's a really solid stage too, but like super crystal clear in the back.
Yep.
I love that, by the way. Like, this is amazing for literally, I would say, their like you said, the second launch, but I would almost say the comeback, right?
You know,
you went through a whole year almost with your base game, and now you're coming back, and you're going to try to come back as strong as possible. I do have one question for you, Sharpie.
Of course.
Because I'm sure you've studied every single piece of footage that has come out since the announcement of...
I've been trying really hard to get ready for the cast. We're, full disclaimer, dear listener and viewer, we are starting a little bit later than I expected. And I just want to say, Saki Sakura is such a freaking professional, you guys. She is such a sweetheart. She knew that I was taking all this extra time on multiverses, and she's like, we'll start whenever you're ready. And that's even why she came back to the segment. She's like, I want you to be able to gush as much as you want to gush about this, because she knows... She knows I'm trying to keep on the schedule.
I really liked it. I really like hearing you gush about this. But I gotta bring in commentator Sharpie.
Of course.
And esports Sharpie, you know?
for sure, for
what
sure, for absolutely.
What is your thoughts about the speed of the game.
Oh,
because I'm gonna be honest.
My God, yeah.
For me, mm-hmm. that was like, okay, I love everything. It's beautiful. I like mm-hmm. it. But this is too slow for me.
Mm-hmm,
even mm-hmm. when I played it originally, I was like, this is too slow.
You know, you aren't the very first person to say that to me. Even, I want to add, even during this specific launch, during the second launch, you are not the first and or only person to bring this up to me. A couple of other people commented on that specific fact earlier through Twitter, and of those people, one of them was my very good friend and someone I consider like my fighting game brother, DeKillSage. He was not happy about the speed of the game. It has been tested out quite a bit by a few other players. Nikat and Ajax are both members of PFG, which is the development team that's working on Multiverses, otherwise known as Player First Games. And they were the people that were also inside of that showcase that I was showing you earlier before, where they were showing off Garnet and the like. In fact, let me go ahead and pull that clip up again, just so we have it in the background. But it was one of those things where a lot of people were not very excited based off that gameplay. They still thought it was slow. And truthfully, want to keep it 100%. I completely and totally understand where they're coming from. The gameplay does look slow. It does admittedly look very slow, but I'm focusing on the fact that this is a concept specifically for the netcode of the game. Was the game a lot faster when I played and when I experienced it? I don't think it was much faster than this, to be honest with you. I think it's always been the speed. But I think now, especially that we have choices in terms of platform fighters, and now especially that we have choices in terms of like, hey, what do we actually want all of our platform fighters to feel and play like? I feel like people are actually starting to be a lot more vocal and be like, you know what? I want it to be faster. I want the characters to be smaller. I want this and I want that. And I think that type of discourse is really good, but I think it's also very important to remember that these developers are currently working on fixing the netcode. That's what the focus of all of this is about. That's what all those experiments are about. So those experiments are not about the speed. Those experiments are not about the specific game feel, which just once again to co-sign here, I felt like the game felt really good when I played it before. I did not have a good experience playing it online 100% of the time, which is why I'm happy that they're addressing the netcode. But I want to be very, very clear. This game is fun for me offline. It feels really good to me offline. Online is the concern that I had about it, and seeing how there was barely any frame droppage, how there was barely any ping droppage inside of these examples, that's what I was looking at. And I think that's what those examples were supposed to show us. I think this is also one of the reasons why developers are always very, very careful when they showcase footage, because top of mind, right, everyone already inside the Multiverses community is already like, hey, what is this game going to look like? And they're like, you know what, that's a fair question, let's go ahead and address that. But from them answering that question inside a video format, now people have questions about, well, that still looks very, very slow. It's not even about the netcode anymore. Now it's about, oh, it looks slow, right? Now it turns into that. And mm-hmm. that is a problem that I don't think they're necessarily ready to address at this exact moment, to be 100% honest with you. If I just had to guess and I had to make like an educated, you know, guesstimation about where the developers are right now, I think they're still actively working on netcode. I think they're still actively trying to make sure that they have a very nice, polished product that they can showcase. But I also think that it's very, very important to note when they show off things like this, when they show off things to specifically show that a bunch of players can play online without there being a ridiculous number of jumps or a ridiculous number of like cuts, I think mm-hmm. that's what they're showing here. I don't think they're showing how slow a character is or what the movements of those characters are or even what's inside of the kit and what it looks like. I think they're focusing specifically on the connection, and that's my focus here. To your point, once again, I hear a lot of people talking about it. It's a very contested aspect of the community, but I personally think we should give them a little bit more grace. We have another month to launch, and those are small changes that are as easy as changing one input or one percentage to another percentage. That's not as advanced as changing something like netcode.
I love that answer so much, and I think like the main point of this all is developers are like, we have to remember that developers are only showing what they're allowing and what they're able to show, right? Yeah. And at this point, it was the netcode.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they will talk about the gameplay and the speed of things and everything that's associated with that at a later point. And that's also probably why you see them using the standard characters of like Garnet, Wonder Woman, Batman, and Jake, right? Yep. Finn.
Well, those are also the characters that they happen to use. Like Ajax is a very, very well-known Batman player. Chavo is actually also a really, really good Batman player. But in this instance, we have Chavo on Finn, and we have Wonder Woman. Nikat won Evo with Wonder Woman and Tom and Jerry, you know, along with Void. So, like, I think they're focusing right now on showcasing, like, the specific mechanics inside of here. And I think that's a very smart decision on their part specifically. Because keeping the conversation there, keeping the conversation on, here's what the game looks like. Or specifically, here's what the online looks like. You know, and here's the reality. We have these top people playing it right now and they're having a good time. I think that's very, very important. To be very candid, a conversation point that I'm not hearing come up that is very, very important to come up, and I think would be a much more beneficial conversation to have, would be, what is the plan and how does it deal with server load? That's a more important question than being like, is it going to be this slow? Because even when we were playing the game previously, one of the biggest issues was that after the very first like beta, the first public beta, people were complaining not necessarily just about like, you know, frame droppage and netcode, but like the servers were overloaded. Yeah, the servers are doing great when you have four people on them. What's it going to look like when we have like 7,000 people on it across several different platforms? That's the real question I personally have that I would love to see answered inside of the very next like public test, hopefully before the game launches. But I'm really happy with anything. I'm happy with crumbs. I'm happy with literally anything. I just want to see more of this game.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say that, like, I'm really excited. I hope you get to beat my butt and I hope you get to be my duo.
I don't know. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I can be your duo, Saki. I ain't never played with you on a platformer like that, girly. Like, I love you. You're my, your blood. You're my sister, high key. But, like, I don't know if we can duo. I'm trying to get W's.
But what if I play the scummy broken characters?
Especially if you play the scummy broken characters.
Wow, you don't want the you want the win, but then you don't want the person to get you the win. Like, you know what
the real tech is? To be very honest with you, you play the newest characters that come out because you know they're probably not going to get patched soon. So whenever I see new DLC come out, I always play those characters first, and then the minute they get patched, I go back to the silent, super duper scummy characters like Steven Universe and Garnet that I know nobody plays at a high level.
I see you, Sharpie. I see you. Speaking of DLC characters, now we can go ahead and hop over to what I like to call an error code. Kinda, because that's how he started, right? Mm-hmm. It is Ermac. Ermac is coming back, by the way, with Daddy Mulatto, okay? All right? Ermac will be actually being released. So by the time you hear this episode, you'll probably see him already in the Mortal Kombat realm in Liu Kang's new era. But he is set to be released for April 16th for the original early pass holders, actually. And then Mulatto also set to be released in May. Now, what I really like about this, first off, is I love Ermac's new design. Very much different, by the way, from his MKX design and previous reincarnations, rather. And this is simply because he's actually using the souls as his power, which I think is so cool because usually souls have been translated to be like a green type of magic type attack. We usually see that from, like, again, Shang Tsung. But now in this game, they really set apart that you have your green, which is your necromancy with Quan Chi and Shang. And then you have the souls, which is like this turquoise blue greenish color. And again, I love this. I also love, too, that there's almost like a stance, per se, to this, which is basically summoning the soul, and then the soul is actually holding on to the person, and then you can either do jump-ins, you can do air attacks, you could do the whole nine yards. This is honestly, like, I feel like the coolest Ermac is going to be. The combat cast is set for April 15th, which is on the Monday, and Sharpie, tell me what your thoughts are about what you saw from Ermac.
So I'm really happy that you brought up specifically the segment inside of the news, Saki, because I actually used to play Ermac inside of MKX. He was actually the character that I played. I did that little one command grab, this one right here, where like you throw him up in the air and then kind of like they didn't contort him the same way, but you threw him back down and it was a side switch. And because it was a command grab, you couldn't just block it. You know what I mean? Like, I would do it because inside of Mortal Kombat, you have to press the block button. And if you aren't pressing the block button, like, you're dead. So I would punish people for pressing the block button, do this little grab right here. And I'm so happy that they brought him back. Honestly, you know, I would actually love to hear from you specifically, Saki, because there are a couple of things that I specifically don't know about Ermac. And I was hoping that maybe you could enlighten me. But like, what is his story canonically inside of the entirety of Mortal Kombat? Like, where does this character come from?
Lore story. I know you got it. Of course I do. I got you. Listen, let me look into my book of lore. And so for Ermac specifically, in Liu Kang's era, not to be too like spoilery, although listen, it's been like 8 months. You should have played that story.
You should at this point have already done it, bro. But it's been a year.
Ermac is summoned by Quan Chi. So that part of the story is somewhat of the same because Quan Chi and Shang Tsung in the original timelines were the reasons why Ermac exists in the first place. Originally was summoned by Quan Chi, was supposed to be a servant to Quan Chi. But in the moment when Quan Chi's spell actually breaks, and this is from the Mortal Kombat official bio that's on the website, Jared, which is Melina Kitana's father and husband to Sindel in Liu Kang's era, he takes over the souls of that control Ermac and is actually the leading soul. And for a time, actually helps Melina with her reign because she's become empress at the time. But then in some of that time frame after the story ends, and there's maybe a couple of months to a year that Outworld is still going on, that Jared actually breaks apart. And now Ermac becomes just a general legion of souls. So that's why when you see him in these intros, it's not necessarily Jared who's actually communicating. It's really the entire being of Ermac is just one being with all of those souls there and trying to figure out, okay, what's my new destiny now? Or what's my new fate? Do I serve Outworld and become a part of the royal family, or do I just wander Outworld and do my own thing? And that's the lore right now with Ermac.
That's so freaking cool, dude. I love that concept. I love that kind of like hive mind concept. They had it with who was that bee girl inside of Mortal Kombat?
Devorah,
yeah. I love that storyline so much.
It's also a callback to from, I believe, if it's not Armageddon, it's Deadly Alliance.
Yeah, that was the very first Mortal Kombat I ever played. I played Frost in Deadly Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think I love it so much. Yeah, because I remember that was the very first time they ever had like Quan Chi there. They had him literally as the villain who took over all these souls, and they brought in, I think they brought in Ermac inside of Deadly Alliance. As like the collection of souls and all this other stuff. And he was a really cool character. Unless I'm thinking of Quan Chi. I probably think of Quan Chi, but like there's also lore behind how he was actually created, right? Mm-hmm. Ed Boon said that Ermac literally means it was an error that threw up when he was bugging the game, right?
Correct.
Or when he was debugging the game.
So it was technically an error code that was coming out. I believe it was MK2 or 3. Not too sure which one, but it was one of those. And mind you, this was the game that also had Reptile as a secret character. And many players who received that error code, they thought that they were playing against Ermac, which was just a short term for the error code's name. And then they really weren't playing a secret legendary character, but so many people were like, yo, we want to play Ermac. We really liked him. We really liked the idea of him. And then when they finally started, like Ed Boon started actually developing the character, so many people just fell in love with the Red Ninja. They just kind of were like, all right, well, people say they want this new character. Let's go ahead and put him in. And that's exactly what happened. So that was actually a really good tidbit of lore from Ed Boon himself when he tweeted that. And also, you know, like someone like me, I wasn't around in that era for Ermac and for like the older Mortal Kombats, except like maybe when I was a kid and I got to play on the arcade cabinets in the laundry room, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like right now to know that, and that's like, that's just such cool lore. And then speaking of lore, that also includes Movado as the cameo, and Movado being another character that was introduced in Deadly Alliance. Mm-hmm. He's actually, so this is actually really interesting, Sharpie, especially because you you have a very extensive knowledge in many different fighting games for this. We don't know technically if Movado is bringing either, is either going to be a unique cameo, which means that he might introduce Push Block and he may be the only cameo capable of it, or we got to see a glimpse of a new defensive universal mechanic, which is Push Block. So we're not really too sure. We're hoping that the combat cast is actually proving the latter, that it's a new universal mechanic. But regardless, this patch, Movado, I mean, that's daddy right there. Like, look at his leatherness. Oh my God, I love him. Okay, I simp for Movado so badly.
I just want to ask really quickly before we move on here, Saki, is this you?
Yes.
Is this yes. Tweet that says, "Hi, yes, Movado fan here. Can I ask why he looks so hot? That has been viewed 6,755 times on X.com. Did that come from your account? And if so, why?"
Yo, you should have seen my TikTok reaction. She didn't expect
any of this, chat.
No, I didn't actually. I didn't know you. I got exposed. No, you should see my TikTok reaction. I was like, "Hey, tell me, Movado, please."
Hey, yo. So, Saki, if I had to go ahead and ask really, really quickly, just for the broad strokes, what could I expect if I went over to TikTok.com/@SakiSakuraTV? What would I expect to see there in addition to just Movado lusting?
Okay, so you're going to see... Actually, you're gonna see Love in Deep Space lusting. Like, that's literally the first one you're gonna see. I play Love in Deep Space, by the way, for anybody who's at home listening or watching. It's a mobile game. It's a dating mobile game. And I love Zane, but I was showing off the 5-star for Raphael. So you'll see that. You'll see me playing Once Human as well. That's the latest sandbox MMO that has recently come out for PC, and it's gonna be on mobile. And also. Again, I just fall in love with anime and otaku stuff. So you'll see anime reactions. You'll see manga reactions. I will say that I was reacting to the Fatal Blow. I had a purpose. I had a purpose here, okay? But I ended up watching Movado more. But yeah, you can find guides to Once Human. I'm actually tackling on, like, hey, you can actually deal with bosses, you know, game facts, indie coverage as well. A lot of demos and a lot of indie games that are going to be going up on there. That's pretty much what my TikTok is all about.
Even more reason to follow TikTok.com/@SakiSakuraTV. And I believe you also have a secondary YouTube for those people that may not necessarily use TikTok, but are still just as interested. Where can we find your second YouTube channel that has that same information, Saki?
You can find that at SakiSakuraTV. So that's SakiSakura. T as in Tom, V as in Victor. That is specifically the same, that is the YouTube channel that has most of the all over TikTok content that you actually just saw or you're listening to. And then if you want to just follow for the fighting game content, then we also have Saki Sakura. But follow both because they're all really cool, and I'm playing a bunch of stuff that you guys are all going to like.
If there's anything that I've learned in general from playing games, not just competitively, but relatively semi-professionally, is that there's never enough time to watch all of the games that you want to play. So let someone that you trust play those games for you. And with that, dear viewer, it'll bring us to the end of this episode of FGCast. Thank you so much for sticking with us. And I want to give a very special thank to specifically Hella Brett. We here at FGCast are actually really, really big fans of supporting individual tournaments, especially independent tournaments and up and coming tournaments, especially inside the fighting game soon. We wish you nothing but success. And Saki, do you have anything that you'd like to add?
For me, I am at Saki Sakura TV. You can follow me on those channels. It's the same everywhere: Instagram, TikTok, Twitch, and YouTube. And again, if you like fighting games, I'm here for fighting games, but I'm also here as your favorite waifu, simping on some favorite husbandos and waifus. So
yeah. Yep. Just gotta be. That's the thing about being an anime fighting game lover is that we all know that we're disgusting degenerates, bro. It's an actual fact. You see, I called out Saki for lusting very publicly because she did that very publicly on a piece of documentation we're covering on the cast.
Listen, I love.
No shame.
But I do it with taste. I do it mm-hmm. with class. All yeah. right. That's the key here.
Honestly, what's classier than literally saying, by the way, why did you guys make him so hot? What is truly classier than that?
I had tea with it. I had boba tea with it.
You had some real fun. I love that for you. Okay, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, you guys, we will see you offline.